Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. Actually, it's Wednesday. Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. It's Christmas week, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically like Saturday of an NFL week.
That's true.
Basically. So it's all kinds of mixed up.
It is. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Teresa Walker from the Associated Press. Teresa, what's going on? How are we doing? I think we're having some phone issues. We will get back to Teresa here in just a second. Checking in with her.
Did she hang up on us? She didn't like our Christmas choices, Christmas food.
Teresa,
choices?
Do we have you now?
Yes, you have me now. I did not hang up, Joe. I've just been waiting.
Well, what's your top three?
Wouldn't blame you if you hung up on Joe, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally understandable. What's your top three? Your three absolute must-have foods.
For Christmas?
Yes.
Ooh, it's kind of changed. In the last few years, we've gone to a roast beast of sorts for Christmas. And mashed potatoes, gravy, and green beans. I know it's crazy, but it's basic, and after weeks of holiday food and treats, it's basic, solid, but oh, so good.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with any of that. I don't think there's any question about that. So, Teresa, obviously, this is a big one for the Titans coming up tomorrow against the Niners. We've talked a lot this week about Tannehill. He's not played well. The injuries around him are not good. The offensive line is not blocked well. I guess as you watch what's happening right now offensively, how much blame do you put on Ryan Tannehill? And as you kind of try to divide things up, what do you think is most responsible for what we're seeing right now in the passing game?
Well, I mean, hey, Mike Vrabel himself has said that Tannehill needs to be better with the ball placement and decision-making. Decision-making tells me that he needs to be getting the ball out faster, because even in games where he's had, essentially the offensive line in front of him, and they've not been going to the bench and to the medical tent over and over and over. He's still been sacked. There's still been 14 interceptions, guys. It's, that's double what he had all of last season. It's not all on, he does bear some blame for that. But, from the very beginning of this season, the offensive line has just been a revolving door of injuries. The good thing for tomorrow night is that it looks like Roger Saffold, after missing the Pittsburgh game, should be available. But then you've got Taylor Lewan dealing with a back issue. So, it's like if it's not one thing, it's another. And that certainly hasn't helped. But then you watch them, and then they can road grade. I mean, when Derrick Henry went down, the worry was, oh, my God, any semblance of a run game has just disappeared for this team. No, they've shown that they can, they can run block, and they can find ways to get guys like Deontay Foreman and Dontrell Hilliard, to 100-yard performances. I mean, they ran for 201 yards as a team on Sunday in Pittsburgh. That is, they can still find ways to block and create holes. But the fact that, 41 sacks, I mean, I think that's the number I looked up last night.
Yeah.
That's almost stunning. The guy was sacked, I think, 25 times all last year.
Right. Yes, the pass protection has gone down, despite some propaganda pushers who will remain nameless in town. No, it's been, from day one, right? You think back to that Cardinals game and just Tannehill, the hits he took. But I agree with you, Teresa. I mean, look, there's a lot of things that have gone wrong around Ryan Tannehill, but he still has to not give the other team the ball, especially. But they're in this, they're in a tighter situation. I still feel good about them winning the AFC South. There are some Titans fans who are starting to freak out and wonder, will they ever win again? Will they lose, squander the division? It's possible. It's on the table. How do you forecast the rest of the way, and also considering the way the Colts are playing?
Well, I do think that if, A.J. Brown, who's been allowed to start practicing with the team, if he is able to come back and activate it to the roster for tomorrow night's game, that's a huge boost, okay? They didn't complete a pass over 18 yards on Sunday. That first play, it looked like that was going to be a ball to Julio Jones. He certainly was open. But unfortunately, the Steelers noticed that Roger Saffold was declared out for that game and came right up that left, you know, the left guard spot over Aaron Brewer and sacked Ryan Tannehill for the first play of the game. So getting A.J. Brown back should certainly help give Tannehill, you know, a bit better option down the field. They certainly have a connection. The two of them have, you know, they've worked very well together since Ryan Tannehill and A.J. Brown hooked up here in Tennessee. That should help. And guys, let's be honest. You know, right now the Niners are the favorite. Titans are underdogs. And for some reason, this team always seems to do better when their backs are against the wall, right? But on the other side, they're getting healthier. This will be the second game for Bud Dupree. You know, the Chris Jackson is another guy who's also in the practicing window, could be activated off of IR. He's a guy that has really made an impression in his short time in Tennessee as a seventh-round pick last year in that secondary. So you've got Rashawn Evans. This would be, I think, his third game back from IR. We still don't know when David Long comes back, but, you know, Zach Cunningham's second game in that defense. So, you know, they've gotten pieces back. And, you know, that injury report this week, you know, yes, there's some concerning names on there with Julio Jones and Taylor Lewan, but, you know, Tier Tart, you know, is practicing fully. Jack Rabbit Jenkins is practicing fully. So they seem to be getting healthier. It's the shortest injury report that I can remember in weeks. You know, for a team that has now used a record 87 different players this season. And December, late December, is exactly when they need to be healing up. And, you know, could something happen? Yes. But having watched Mike Vrabel and seeing the pieces they're getting back, it just feels like they're going to have a chance to turn things around. And it's not like they've been playing badly. I mean, they dominated time of possession. They outgained the Steelers the other day. You know, they were mowing over the Patriots in New England. The theme of these three losses in four games is simple: the turnovers. Hold on to the ball. They should be winning more games.
Teresa Walker on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Teresa, what about the Julio situation? Pretty much every Titans fan that has talked to us this week is totally out on Julio Jones at this point. Do you have any hope coming down the stretch that he's going to be a big factor in this offense at any point?
Well, yeah, because he's not on IR ending his season. So, and we saw him out there yesterday. He didn't practice. He was a DNP, but he was out there and he was watching. So, you know, today is kind of like a Friday / Saturday in their practice week. And, you know, who knows what happens. But, you know, these are the games that we're getting close to. You know, they haven't clinched the division. They haven't clinched the playoff spot. This is the kind of game that they certainly could use him. But I still maintain this was a trade, a move made to try to help this team win the games that they need to win in January. And I'm not talking about the game in Houston. I'm talking about playoff games. So if he makes even one catch in a postseason game to help them advance another round, then I'm going to say that the trade was a win, because guess what? You know, compare him to Corey Davis. What? That's the guy that they could have kept if they'd exercised the fifth-year option, and they didn't, and they end up getting Julio Jones for a little bit cheaper deal. And to me, that's kind of what you're measuring against. Would it have been nice for them to have better addressed the wide receiver position this last offseason, tight end as well? Absolutely. You know, we might not be fussing about Ryan Tannehill's production as much if he were throwing to some better options, right? I mean, you know, let's be honest. You know, Golden Tate is on the practice squad, and people are hoping, can he play this week? Why hasn't he been activated? Because of the issues, you know, they just didn't address that position more this last offseason. So that's why so many hopes and anger and frustration hangs on Julio Jones.
Put Golden Tate and Mason Kinsey out there and prosper. Man. You know, you just don't know.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about this. Is it my question?
It's your question. Oh,
okay. All right. Let's talk about this.
It's your show, Joe.
Just take over here. Let's talk about this matchup, Teresa, the Niners. I think they're really good. Actually, the Niners remind me of the Colts. Those are the two teams I'm seeing who had early season trouble. They were counted out by some. They are playing really well, probably going to start the playoffs on the road, but I wouldn't want to mess with them. What do you think about this game? I'm really excited to see the Niners run offense and what they do against the Titans' rush defense, which has been tremendous.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're running the ball really, really well. And I'm forgetting the guy's name who's kind of come back from an injury and really sparked them as well. But they've got Elijah Mitchell, and they're running the ball very, very well. And then you add Jimmy Garoppolo, who's I'm trying to remember the stat. I was going through the notes late last night. But something like he's got a 90-plus passer rating in his last eight games, which is the best in the NFL. I mean, you know, he's completing 70% of his passes. He's 12 of 13 games this year, and he's really come on for them. And that helps make that, you know, with him and Debo Samuel and George Kittle, that helps make that run offense even better. But then we've got a Titans defense that 43 yards rushing is all they've allowed over the last two games. You know, the Steelers do have some guy named Najee Harris, and Alabama fans know his name well. And, you know, they held James Robinson, the only guy to run for 100 yards against them this season, to 8 yards. You know, they held the Jaguars to 8 yards rushing a couple of weeks ago, and their only win over this last month. So, you know, this should be a strength-on-strength kind of situation. And I'm really curious to see who ends up maybe winning that battle of will, so to speak. But I'll say this, I was really impressed with how the Titans defense was swarming and just smothering things on Sunday in Pittsburgh. I mean, you know, let's be honest, they turned in a defensive performance that should have won that game.
Teresa, we really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Hope you enjoy the game coming up tomorrow night. Merry Christmas to you and the family, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, and Merry Christmas and happy holidays to all y'all.
Absolutely. Teresa Walker from the Associated Press, the GOAT, here with us on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune in Friday to 102.5 The Game as we give away free beer and burgers courtesy of Joyland in East Nashville. Make sure you listen for your cue this Friday to text the keyword to the game line at 615-737-1025 and be qualified to win a Joy Beer and Joyland's new Smash Burger Deluxe. It's Free Beer Friday served by Joyland in East Nashville. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here on this Wednesday morning talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We've got a special guest coming up in the 9 o'clock hour for the entire hour. It's going to be fun. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Wait a minute. I'm not muted. What happened there?
That was my fault because you were doing your FanDuels. That was totally my fault. I muted Joe.
Okay. Phew. I was like,
we're going to count it against Joe.
This is a new thing that I can't handle, all these different mute rules.
It's funny. Whenever that happens, you're so confused. You're like, how am I off?
It's awesome.
It's just terror on my face. By the way, that last song, the only time I've ever heard that song is when I'm watching the movie Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
Is that true for everybody?
That's why I put it on.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just it's interesting because it's just, that's...
It's the only place
that's
it exists.
It's Christmas Vacation song.
What amazes me is how many different versions there are of like the same Christmas songs out there. Like I've heard about 25 different versions of Jingle Bell Rock in the last 3 days.
Yeah, Little Drummer Boy. Oh, yeah. I mean, the classics especially. By the way, I need to amend an answer. Katie blew me up, and I didn't read it until later.
Okay.
Yorkshire Pudding's got to be one of my three.
Okay.
Obviously, we have got Irish heritage going on here on both sides, but Yorkshire pudding is also vanilla. Have you guys ever had Yorkshire pudding?
No.
It's interesting. So it's not pudding like you would, for anybody out there who knows. It's bread, and it's like you broil it, okay, and it's super super buttered and salted.
Mm.
If it's cooked perfectly, like. We've had that before. It's incredible. If you overcook it at all, it's very easy to mess up.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, though, I would advise give it a shot sometime.
Right. So you just have five choices. You just have all five. Yeah. We'll just give you all the choices.
I'll go Yorkshire.
Corned beef hash has moved way down the list for
prime rib and Irish coffee.
All right.
Which is coffee, Jameson, and whipped cream. Yes.
That is just so you that you have coffee and alcohol. In your top three.
Jeez.
In one.
No, I guess.
Rex running a picture.
Well, you know. Indy Ben texting in, Julio is a bum. There's no chance this trade can be considered a win for the Titans.
I'd say Teresa has the most positive outlook on the Julio situation that I've heard.
I would say that's correct.
At this point.
Chris in Nashville did say that's a glass half full approach from Teresa.
I mean,
I like it.
Now, look, now the scenario she put out there was.
It's still on table.
Yeah, the scenario she put out there was if he does something to help them win a playoff game, makes a big play. To help them in the play. And I agree on, like, comparing, you know, it's the cost of him versus Corey Davis. The difference, of course, is that you also spent a second-round pick to get Julio.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, look.
Corey Davis is out for the year. And Corey, you know, it's – Corey Davis should not have been paid. They should not have paid Corey Davis what the Jets paid Corey Davis.
No.
So I hope everybody can agree on that.
Corey Davis against the Titans, yeah. Probably worth the money.
He looked pretty good.
He looked pretty good that day. Good for him.
Lots of revenge in the Titans had this year.
Yeah. Matt from Camden on the text line. Do we even care if Julio Jones plays the rest of the season? And before you say, well, yeah, you'd love to have Julio out there, he isn't providing anything for the offense and can't stay healthy for an entire game. I say just sit him until the playoffs and see if you can't get that big one out of him when it counts the most. It's coming from Matt on the text line.
Yeah, he could. I mean, I don't think he's going to play tomorrow. I don't know. I mean, if it comes back, like, okay, he's running again, everything's fine. Do you just say, you know what, that's okay?
Well, I said it earlier.
I think, like, you probably play him.
I said it earlier. We've reached the point with the Julio discussion that you have to separate the trade, the money, and what this means right now. Like, Julio Jones, I agree. For the most part on the field this year, he's been really disappointing. I mean, the most disappointing part about Julio Jones is he can't stay healthy. I think everybody would agree with that. He's had some moments on the field. He's had some flashes. We always talk about the Seattle game. I mean, he's made some good plays. He made a couple good plays in the Kansas City game. He moved the chains a couple times in the LA game. So it's not like it's been a total zero out there when he's been on the field. But, like, if you told me right now that he could play tomorrow, yeah, put him out there. I mean, he's still, to me, I think – a good option to have out there based on what the rest of your receiving core looks like. Like, who'd you rather have out there? Julio Jones or Cody Hollister? You tell me. I think I'll go with Julio Jones.
Right. Like, if Julio Jones was not out of the game by then, you know, that double-covered deep shot probably goes to him. Not saying he makes a play, but there's a better chance that he makes the play than Cody Hollister.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Nah. The other part of me can't believe we're having this conversation comparing Julio Jones to Cody Hollister, but we are. And, look, it's been extremely underwhelming. There's no way around that. Extremely underwhelming. And my thoughts, you know, I agree with Teresa. Like, if you told me right now he wins you a playoff game or he's a big factor in a playoff win against the Bills or the Colts or the Chiefs or whoever, then, yeah, I think you start to view the trade a little bit differently, especially if the Titans end up on a run. But, like, I don't foresee that being a very likely outcome at this point.
I mean, you know, you're in a season, you're in a chase to win the division and then get the playoffs. It's, you know, it's about all that other stuff, like what the trade means or what you're going to do in the offseason. It is separate. It's hard to separate them sometimes, but it's just about finding some plays, anybody to make any plays on this offense, and the options are very limited right now.
Chris texting in, given our quality draft history, maybe losing a second-round pick isn't so bad. It's coming from Chris.
I love that one.
We're going to get a lot of
that. You've made some bad draft picks, so don't draft anymore. He's made some good draft picks, too, or else they wouldn't be 9-5 right now.
Yeah. Mitch from Dixon texting in, $14 million for one playoff catch. Where are my pads? Put them on, Mitch. Yeah. They might need you at some point.
What if it's a lunging, leaping, winning touchdown against the Chargers to get you to the, you know, to the divisional
round? I mean, I would like to point out, like, the best catch we've seen from a Titans player this year is definitely Julio Jones. That bobble on the sideline in Buffalo, pretty awesome.
The second best may also be him in the back of the end zone in Seattle. They didn't give him the touchdown.
Yeah. We had somebody earlier ask us, is Julio Jones ever going to score a touchdown with the Titans? Right now, I'm kind of leaning no, but technically, he already did. That was a touchdown. They just screwed it up.
And I'm going to lean yes because he's going to be on the team next year. Now, he might play five games, you know, But I'm going to still say yes.
All right.
Put me down for yes.
I like it. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show on 102.5 The Game, live from Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville, coming up this Thursday, tomorrow. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman, Mark Howard, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. You can join them from 5 to 7 p.m. live at Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville at 1003 Russell Street, prior to the Titans taking on the San Francisco 49ers. The NFL pregame show brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Got more of your thoughts to get to, including one on Todd Downing as well. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win tickets to an upcoming sporting event or concert. Go to thegamenashville.com for more details and to play. Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN.
What the heck was that? What
just happened in that song? What was that?
It was a song, and then Santa popped in and started saying stuff.
Oh, thanks, Santa. Appreciate
it. Crazy over here.
You going to play any of my Christmas songs?
Rex Road got run over by a reindeer one.
No, not that one. We've already done that one twice.
I think three times be good.
Wonderful Christmas time.
Oh, no. We're not doing that.
Katie hates that song so much.
Yeah, it's because Katie's smart.
But Katie also does realize the Beatles are amazing. But, yeah, she does hate that song. However, Katie, very important. In case anyone out there is going to take my Yorkshire pudding advice, it's – but first of all, it's a souffle, technically, okay? I was wrong. You don't broil it, okay?
That's a pretty important detail.
Yes, it's a slow bake. But to my – all right, I apologize. You don't broil it. I guess that would probably turn it into a crispy piece of coal.
Somebody's in their kitchen right now broiling this thing.
Darn you, Rex Road! I'm sorry. It's egg – you know, it's eggs and it's butter and it's – But yes, it's a slow bake. It's just very difficult to get it perfect. But when you do, my goodness, is it melting your mouth. Yorkshire pudding.
There you go. Not broiled.
Tip of the day, not broiled. Do not broil it. Do not grill it. Do not throw it into a huge pit of fire. It will not be good.
This is a doozy. Got a texter that says, I'm still blaming the fall of A.J. Brown this year on Julio. Last year there were plays where A.J. would go down, and you'd think he was done for a game, and two plays later he's back out there. This year, one paper cut, and he's done for the game. Julio does the same thing. There you go.
Huh?
I guess it is. It is Julio Jones' fault that A.J. Brown has not only gotten hurt, but has gotten hurt and has not been able to come back and play.
So because Julio gets hurt so much, A.J. Yeah. Brown now is like influenced by that or something?
I guess so.
Okay.
Interesting.
Hey, it's a free forum of ideas. You can put whatever word you'd like to in the text line. Yes.
We've seen many, yes. many different words in the text line. You'll like this one. Liam texting in. Hey, guys, this question has nothing to do with Christmas. But let's say it's Christmas Eve, and you find yourself on the way to Nissan Stadium and find out a group of German terrorists is stealing our playoff chances. Our only chance is for you to walk barefoot across some broken glass and whisper one thing to Todd Downing. What do you tell him to change? Very nicely done, Liam. Shout out to Die Hard.
That's solid.
A lot of Die Hard conversation on the show today.
See, I read that text message, and I've never seen Die Hard. I was like, what is this guy talking about? That's kind of crazy, but I mean, I guess to each their own, right?
Yeah. Makes total sense to me.
Never seen Die Hard, huh? Okay. Got some work to do here.
Well,
we got some work to do, Michelle.
It's not a Christmas movie, so don't watch it right now.
You can watch it at any time of the year. Yes, any time of the year, it works.
What would you tell Todd Downing to change? Is there anything you'd tell Todd Downing to change right now?
Run the ball.
Yeah, that's probably what I'd tell him.
Run the ball, Todd.
There's a lot of people making a big deal about just roll Tannehill out, too. Just get him on the move. If you can't protect him, get him on the move. What do you think of that?
I mean, like moving a pocket is one thing you can do.
You can't do it every play.
Right. And again, when you remember, we're talking about why don't you do that? Well, you know, when you drop back, you have the whole field, right?
Yep.
If you roll out either way, now you're cutting the field in half. And you already have receivers who aren't exactly, you know, just breaking wide open left and right. So you got to keep that in mind too. But, I mean, I agree that moving the pocket some and some boots and things like that are good. Mixing it up. Just, you know, wait to see the Niners Thursday night. They do all kinds of stuff, moving things around. And, I mean, they're just really fun to watch, really creative offense. Do more of that stuff.
Let's go back to the
text. Or just run the ball.
Let's go back to the text line. Got a text that says, how much time does Julio need? How long was he down from his last game with Atlanta to his first game with the Titans? I'm guessing a long time, and it's still not healed. That is the amazing part. Like,
yeah.
He had the whole offseason. It showed up in training camp with a hamstring injury. You had got shut down for 4 weeks, and now you got a hamstring injury again. Like, the length of time apparently has not mattered with Julio Jones as of late in terms of resting the hamstring and it being healthy again. It just continues and continues to flare up. That's the interesting part. I mean, I don't even know what you do about that.
Yeah, and I don't know, honestly, I don't know if last year it was also the right leg. I actually don't. I'm trying to find that right now, but that's a great point, and it's not encouraging, especially if that's the case. I don't know. Can you have a chronic? I mean, I suppose you can have a chronic anything, right?
I guess.
Or you just get to a certain age and like stretch, you know, pushing yourself to a certain point is just going to tighten up your hamstring. Yes,
tighten up.
Yes, I said tighten up.
Our buddy Chris on the text line from Atlanta says, people are really undervaluing the success that J-Rob has had with second-round picks. Landry, AJ, Henry, Fulton, they're all second-round picks. If we give that up, we're really putting pressure on J-Rob to hit on the first-round picks. It's coming from Chris on the text line. He's done pretty well in the second round. I don't think there's any question.
Yeah, no doubt. Be good to have that pick right now. And by the way, it was his left. So I guess you could look at that as a positive, or you could look at that like, okay, so both legs are a problem. But last year, the hamstring that plagued him was left. This year, and I'm going based on seeing the wrap on the right leg.
Yeah.
It's his right. So both hammies have been a problem for Julio Jones over the last 2 years.
Andrew on the text line, how is no one complaining about AJ this year? Are we happy with 650 yards? He's constantly dropping the ball and out of the lineup. You just can't depend on him either.
You better be able to moving forward.
But yeah.
It's not, you're not wrong altogether. He's been great at times.
Look, when he's been on the field and healthy, he's pretty good. I mean, go back and look at that Indy game. Looked pretty good to me. Now, he's got to stay healthy. I mean, this is not only a this year thing. I would assume you're about to commit long-term to A.J. Brown if you're the Titans. I mean, you have to be able to count on him. And this is, you know, last year, to his credit, he played through the knee injuries. But, I mean, he's 24. You're talking about injuries last year, injuries this year. That's at the very least concerning for the Titans as you move forward.
And he's had a lot of drops this year.
Yep.
He's had a lot of stuff go on. He had this stretch. And he was a huge part of this four-game winning streak when we didn't think they were going to win these games, right? Or certainly didn't think they'd sweep them. And certainly when they lost Derrick Henry, they were in trouble. But he goes 7-for-91 against the Bills, 8-for-133 and a touch against the Chiefs, 10-for-155 and a touch against the Colts. Right, like those 2 weeks, he was tremendous. Then it's 5-for-42. In the win over L.A., which was a, you know, Derrick Henry first game out, and it, like that offense was, they were limited. And then, of course, he gets hurt against, did he get hurt against New Orleans or Houston?
He got hurt against Houston.
He got hurt against Houston. Yeah. Or, I think he got hurt against New Orleans and Houston, didn't he? Am I wrong about that? You leave the New Orleans game, then come back the next week and play? But I don't know.
I can't keep
he's
up
had
at this point.
He's had hamstring stuff, but then, of course, he had, like, the chest/shoulder, which is what he's coming back from now. Yes, it's been a disappointing season for him, too. But, I mean, that little segment of, you know, of games tells you that he's still a heck of a weapon. And that's what they need, that to be on the field Thursday and moving forward.
Got another texture that says, Julio rubbing off on AJ. Just like it's, you know, you know what you ought to do? Act like you're hurt. Just act like you're hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, Julio's not hurt or anything. He's just, you know, I don't know. He's what? Not happy, so he's pretending to be hurt?
I don't know.
That makes sense.
Megan texting in. Ever since Julio came to the Titans, my clothes have gotten smaller. I think he's making me gain weight. Thank you, Megan. That's funny. Just stress eating over Julio Jones. He's hurt again. God. I've done that.
I don't know why that made me think. What was that Snoop Dogg video? Like, he made me drink. Yeah. Like, we're going over like their cousin's house. He makes me drink.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Michelle just defeated. The sound stopped on her.
The Wi-Fi went out for a second, but just hold on.
Jeez. Wow. What a mashup.
This is why Die Hard's a Christmas movie, I guess.
I guess so.
Great song. Great video, too.
Oh, yeah.
The little elf in the video. Good stuff, Run DMC.
Just continuing the Christmas theme today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says, what if we had a Ray Lewis type of player to inspire the other players? Do we have that kind of guy on the team? So, Rex Road, your thoughts?
I don't think inspiration's the issue. I think lost bodies and mistakes would be the issue. Like, if someone could scream right before Anthony Firkser carried the ball loosely out there and let it get knocked out of his hands, that'd be good. Like, tuck the ball away, you know? Yeah. I think that's the issue.
Hold on to the ball.
Yeah. Damn it. But they've got emotional leaders. I would say Kevin Byard,
yeah.
Jeff Simmons, and Ryan Tannehill. Derrick Henry has become that, and of course he's in a different spot right now. But yeah, I think they're fine in that area.
You know what?
They may not have like a screamer like Ray Lewis, but they're fine.
The motivation stuff is just, it continues to be funny to me. You know, they talk about Brady all the time with that and Ray Lewis. You know what also stands out about Brady and Ray Lewis? Pretty good.
Yeah.
They're pretty good players.
Yeah,
beyond the motivational stuff, which, look, I'm not saying that Brady's not good at motivating people and Ray Lewis is not good at motivating people. I mean, people apparently playing with, like, torn ACLs for Tom Brady. So
more
power to him.
It's not because I'm in the Super Bowl, because I'm playing for Tommy. Tommy motivated me.
More power to him. But it also helps those guys. They kind of know what they're doing on the field.
Yeah, it's hard to be a vocal leader like that unless you're good.
Yeah.
And those are Hall of Fame players.
In all seriousness, I do think we've seen some pretty big growth in Derrick Henry from that regard.
Yeah.
I think he's been more vocal. Obviously, he is one of the stars in the league, so there is a weight that comes with what he says. You know, I think with some of the videos the Titans have put out when he's been playing after the game, he's been pretty vocal in there. So, look, he deserves credit. I think that can be important. I think sometimes we really overrate the rah-rah stuff.
Yes.
In professional sports.
Very, very much. I mean, you're playing for jobs in this league. I mean, if you've got a good locker room and a good work environment, notice that you can say those things without saying the word culture. But if you've got a good work environment, locker room, and people are playing for each other, they like each other, everybody wants to win. You can't be in this job without being incredibly competitive, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, here and there, I think that's great. If you have someone like that, you can rally around. I mean, Jeff Simmons is probably the most demonstrative vocal presence, like before a game or something.
On the logo. That's where they made up.
Right, that's right. Right in the logo. But, yeah, it's quite overrated overall.
Chris on the text line. Imagine fumbling the ball, walking back to the sideline, and knowing that Vrabel's about to eat your lunch. To me, he's the Ray Lewis type that you're talking about. Vrabel.
He's not scaring him into not turning it over.
Apparently not.
Not lately. I mean, that's what's weird is, like, not just 13 turnovers in the three losses, but the fact that they had no takeaways, and then in the other game, the one game they won, they were 4-0 their way.
Yeah.
I mean, just have an even game and see how that works out. Now, they may need a plus game to beat San Fran.
Well, they might. I mean, you're going to have to – I mean, certainly, you can't turn the ball over. I mean, that's – we say that every game. It's, I think, especially important in this game because, look, San Francisco, they've been dynamite throwing the ball as of late. They can run it, too. I mean, they're going to try to run the ball. That's what Kyle Shanahan does. So, this has the opportunity to be a very, very quick game coming up on Thursday with as much as both these teams like to run the ball. Possessions are going to be at a premium is what I'm saying.
And honestly, well, I don't know. I don't know if either team will have running success, though. I mean, the Titans have run well, but we'll see. I mean, the 49ers have a good defense, and the number one matchup in this game definitely is the Titans rush D to me against the Niners. Are they going to let them run?
Yep.
Again, they don't just run right at you. They get Deebo Samuel involved. They move things around, misdirection. They use a variety of players. But the Titans have just been really good, and they know that that's what the name of this game Thursday night. You also have to, of course, gear up quickly after a physical game against Pittsburgh, but that's also true of the Niners.
Got a texture that says, if we take away all the bus picks and pickups, such as Clowney and Isaiah Wilson, and replace them with effective players, do you think we'd be having a parade down Broadway this year?
Maybe.
I guess what's your definition of effective player? Like, are you replacing Jadeveon Clowney with T.J. Watt? Well, then maybe.
Like, yeah. Well, probably real. I mean, I would assume that's – well, he wasn't available, but either someone else in free agency or drafting better.
Right.
I mean, if you just drafted better, if you just had a different player in the first round in 20, if you just had, well, I mean, a different player in the first and second round in 21, and yeah. Caleb Farley may yet turn out to be a great player here, but you're getting no help from him, obviously, this year. You're getting no help at all from your second round pick. Just the draft. Take away the free agent signings. You're going to have some hits and misses in all of it, but just those high picks, you have to count on that. Providing instant help, and they're getting so little. They got Christian Fulton from last year. That turns out to be a nice pick.
Yep.
So remember that, but there's not enough of them.
Future target of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence, just picking on him. Up, 26, throwing the ball over there. What if that strategy changes for them moving forward? Hope not.
Yeah, good question. But there was also fans who had a Christian Fulton's the GOAT sign.
I saw that.
He was talking about this yesterday. I was like, nice young player.
It's impressive work early on.
Yeah, maybe not quite the GOAT, but nice young player.
I'm interested to see what they do at corner in this game. Buster Screens played well. Obviously, Elijah Molden on the COVID list right now. Chris Jackson is in the return to play protocol right now for the Titans. And then there's Jackrabbit Jenkins, who has been a full participant in practice this week. So you're getting some bodies back in some cases. Elijah Molden being out or maybe being out is – not good news, but I'm interested to see what they do at cornerback in this game with as well as Buster Screens played so far.
Yeah, is it possible? Like, if Chris Jackson's ready to go, is it possible that they would go Jackson and keep Screen outside and Jenkins is your fourth corner? I don't know. Probably not.
I mean, I think it's possible.
I think it's possible, but I would guess no. I would guess Screen moved inside. I mean, he's been a really nice pickup, and he's versatile. He can do that. I liked how he played last week. I think he got hosed on that call, and
I think
he overall played very well.
I think he's played well since he's come in there. I mean, let's be honest. The Jacksonville game, it's pretty tough to really come away with. I mean, you shut him out. So we talked about it the week of. Anytime you shut somebody out in the NFL, that's good stuff. You'll take it. But that offense is atrocious. It's just awful. I was really impressed by what they did against, you know, Pittsburgh's offense is nothing to write home about.
They're a tick above atrocious.
They're a tick above atrocious. But, I mean, that game, with the amount of times you turn the ball over, that game could have been a whole lot worse. And really, the only time they scored a touchdown, they had some gifts from officiating. That's what it was.
I mean, they gave up two scoring drives that totaled 9 yards. So, and that was the winning field goal and then the tack-on field goal. So, those were, I mean, you could argue that was as impressive defensively as the Titans have been.
Yeah.
Given the position the offense put them in.
Yeah.
And now they're just like the offense last year. Nah, we're not pointing fingers. You know, we're a team. Which, I believe them. It's just amazing that it's like that. It's flipped to that side to that extent. It's so extreme. It was so extreme last year. Great offense, bad defense. Now you have great defense, very good defense,
yeah,
and very bad offense.
We'll see if the Titans can get past 13 in this game. 13 against Houston, 13 against New England, 13 against Pittsburgh. It's probably going to require more than that.
A whopping 20 against Jacksonville.
Yeah. It's not been good. Points per game is going to have to go up as you come down the stretch. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll have a special guest joining us for the 9 o'clock hour. We're looking forward to this coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.